Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cheese and Pickle.
Television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the screenwriter Toby Davis.
Toby, thanks for coming.
Merry Christmas, Julia Rayside.
Oh, merry, merry Christmas
merry
to
Christmas.
You.
Let me take my scarf off.
Brr, it's cold out there. Actually, it's cold out there. Toby, what have you brought to talk about this festive day?
I have brought a thing that is a huge part of our Christmas tradition in our house, which is the Children of Green Knoll.
Oh, that's why I love you and your wife. Because, one, your house is basically like something from a storybook.
Why I bought
with
it.
With a baronial fireplace you can tell stories next to. And two, you like all the good telly. So let's talk about The Children of Green Knoll. It was 1986.
Yes.
And it was shown on, was it BBC?
Shown on BBC.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was just shown once.
And in the winter, that's right, never repeated. November to December, they ran it, didn't they?
Yep, four episodes.
Like a build-up to Christmas thing.
Yeah, as they had done before. They had done with the Box of Delights.
Box of Delights.
Box of Delights.
I know, I know. Tell me why you love this programme so much.
I think it was because I think I was slightly too young for the Box of Delights.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I did watch it and I remember the Blue Peter specials and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think this was the time when I was elbow deep in books
yeah.
at this point. I was reading and everything was magical.
Okay.
And this hit me at a time when everything seemed real, when TV and I think and the world seemed like they
were. You believed it.
Yeah, I believed it. And,
yeah.
And I think the series, The Children of Green Knoll, which was these four episodes, felt very real. They didn't use
yeah.
special effects. They didn't use, you know, they used their limitations
yeah.
to make an incredibly engrossing story, which then just really has stuck with me forever.
Yeah, me too, me too. Did you actually read the book? So it's Lucy M. Barton.
Lucy M. Boston.
Sorry, Boston. Can't read my own writing. Yes, yeah, so she did six novels. Obviously, I haven't read the books. I only watch TV. This is a podcast that hasn't read the book.
I have read them, and we read the book every Christmas.
Do you?
And then watch
Aww.
The thing, yeah. I have to do a lot of voices.
I
the
bet
voices,
you do.
Yeah, the voices are now because it's an incredibly faithful
yeah.
Adaptation. And so the voices, so I now have to do several voices.
Because it's sort of, it's Huntingdonshire, isn't it? Have you ever been to the house, the
no,
real house?
You can go there at Christmas and they do readings of Children of Green Knoll
oh,
there.
And my
the, yes,
G.
the house is called Crow's Hall. Is where that's where Lucy M. Boston lived.
Okay.
And where it's set, but it was filmed at Hemingford Gray.
That's right.
Which is
manor.
Down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I always thought they were filmed in the same house, but apparently they look
so it's not, okay.
very similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's amazing. It's, you
oh,
know,
that must be magical.
Yes, I really would like to go and do that, in fact.
Can we come?
Yes, we'll all
brilliant,
go.
We're all going. Get a coach. Fabulous.
And then the reality of having Children of Green Knoll read to you.
Yeah, yeah.
In company.
A bit weird. Well, we're all sucking our thumbs, holding our blankies. But it was a completely mesmerising series. I was 11, I think, 86, yeah. And so it's a story, as so many of these stories are, The Box of Delights is the same, Lion, the Witch and Wardrobe the same. It's parentless for whatever reason, children.
They're in Burma, as
yes,
is often the case.
It.
Not killed this time.
Not orphans.
In Burma, but
yeah.
remarried, and he doesn't like the stepmother.
And it's brilliantly conveyed that, isn't it? It's just like your new stepmother sends love to Toto.
Sends love to Toto, and he
not
hates
his
being
name.
Called Toto.
So yeah. this is a young man called Toseland. Mm-hmm.
What's your name, dear?
Toseland.
What?
Toseland.
Rosalind?
Toseland.
Oh, Toseland. Oh, that's a good old-fashioned name round these parts. Oh, there's Fen Toseland and Toseland's and Agnes. And what's your Christian name?
That is it. Toesland.
Oh.
Tolly, for sure, as it becomes when he goes to this amazing house and meets his great granny. He's played by an actor called Alex Christie.
Alec Christie, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
You know all the details.
I know all the details.
I'm going to call him Alex now for the rest of the podcast to watch your nose twitch with indignation. Alec Christie. I should know this. I met him once.
And genuinely, my wife did a show with him, I think.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it just wasn't cool at all. So one of my friends mentioned he'd been to university with him. In fact, it turns out he went to my university. We just missed each other by like a year. And we were going to see a mate in a play in London. And we said, we'll meet you in the bar afterwards. And we did. And he was sitting opposite Alec Christie. And I'm afraid I just went, fuck me, it's Tolly. Which is, you know, now I think I regret swearing in front of him.
I mean, he looks the same.
He looks exactly the same. He's like, well, surely you didn't recognise me. He must just have told you. I was like, no, dude, you have the same face. It's amazing. But he's such a fine actor.
Oh,
as
he's
a child,
really
just
good.
A beautiful actor.
And he's in every scene.
Yeah, and you immediately love him.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a woodland creature. Like a very bright, kind of inquisitive woodland creature.
There's a lovely line where the grandmother says, "You seem ready for anything."
Yeah,
and I think that's absolutely the case with him.
That's his performance.
Ready for anything. He's ready for. He's ready for. Yeah, he's ready for the magic.
So the first episode is.
So was I.
Oh God, me too, me too. But he arrives in the Fenlands, you know, so it's Cambridgeshire, Huntingdonshire, it's around there somewhere.
Yeah, the beginnings of this series, that opening, it's one of the most Christmassy things I can watch. He's on a steam train.
It's incredible.
And the steam train is going through floods. So there's a flooded red telephone box.
Yeah, all the rivers have burst their banks.
Yeah, and then he arrives at a station where he's picked up by a lovely old vintage car.
Yeah.
Which then goes into deep water.
Yeah.
They're wading and he's carried on the cabbie's
and his
back.
Face, he's really grinning. He's like getting a piggyback across the water like St. Christopher in that. Yeah,
and they don't, yes, exactly. Like St. Christopher. And then he doesn't know how they're going to get to the house. And then Bogus, the groundskeeper, turns up in a boat with a lantern.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and they row to the house. I mean, this is what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
This will happen to me any minute.
Definitely.
The moment my parents moved to Burma.
I did have like a Forces family, but no such luck. No, we didn't go anywhere exciting. But so he arrives at this amazing house, but it's all a bit spooky and there's gargoyles and it's a strange looking place.
Yep.
And he meets his great granny, and I can the sound effects, the foley in this is so lovely. It takes me straight back. But the sound of the fire crackling, and then his granny pouring them, I think, some hot chocolate from a pot.
Yes,
that's Christmas.
And she does a lean round of a wingback chair. To show. Yeah, it's all. It's
oh,
all
you've
magic.
Come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, what does she mean? What does she mean? It's so exciting. So effectively, then he starts to hear strange things around the house and children laughing. Things you'd think, oh God, no, it's a horror film. It's terrifying. And then it turns out these lovely children who've lived in the house at different times in history are there and they want to play with him. And he's got friends at last. It's really lovely. And it's a beautiful story.
I mean,
about
the first half is the search. They show themselves a little.
Yes, they tease him.
Yeah.
And he gets quite upset.
And he earns their... Yes, he does. And then he earns their sort of their appearance.
Yeah.
And their first appearance to him, which I think is probably episode 3, is really magical. In the snow, in the garden, in a sort of snow-covered
folly. The little bower. Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing.
With woodland creatures. There's like a deer and a rabbit and a mouse.
The peacock.
And then the peacock comes and ruins it all and they disappear.
That ruddy peacock.
Was he wearing his crown, Tolly? Oh, God, it's just brilliant. So I should let you do the voices there. You're the voice guy. So this was, it's curious because, one, they didn't do any of the other books. You'd think they'd have adapted all of them. Nowadays, they would.
They jump around in time, though.
Yeah, I suppose they do.
And there has been a film since, Chimneys of Green, though, that Julian Fellowes did.
Yes, but it was called something else. What was it called? They called it...
From Time to Time.
That's right. One, Julian Fellowes, that's a bit of a shame because I don't really enjoy his writing very
much. I think
he's
wanted to do it for a long time, though.
Yeah.
He, like me,
it's like a passion project.
Yeah.
Okay. But he did have Hugh Bonneville and Maggie Smith in it. I haven't seen it.
I think it's got Maggie Smith in it. I have seen it. I can't remember. It didn't stick with me in the same way. I don't think it's bad. But it's not. It didn't hit me at that time. And
fair enough.
For me, there's one grandmother, there's one Tolly, there's one Bogus.
It's, absolutely.
You know, and the house, which is a huge character in it.
Yeah.
Clearly a huge character for Lucy M. Boston.
Yeah, completely and utterly. Yeah. The character of Tolly, you presumably identified with him.
I mean, totally.
A sensitive young man.
Sensitive young man. Bookish young.
Fond of wearing three-piece suits from a very early age.
He wears a chunky jumper.
Actually, he does, doesn't he?
He likes a chunky jumper, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Christmas and winter and stuff, isn't it? So, but there's something very idyllic about the life he finds there. Normally, those stories, he gets there, the elderly relative is cold and... not interested in him. And this is completely the opposite.
They have a beautiful friendship.
It is lovely.
It's immediate. They have this beautiful friendship. Like, she's been waiting for him.
Yeah. The actor's called Daphne Oxenford. Yeah, I think she was old woman in everything around that time.
She was the voice of Listen with Mother, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She does a really good performance.
Yeah, she really does. You want her to be your granny. Absolutely. Yeah. There's bits that stick in my head that before I did go back and just watch episode one because it's all on YouTube. Yeah. I'll put the link up because it's lovely. You can just watch the whole thing.
What you should do, in fact, is buy the DVD from Hemingford Gray.
Oh, can you
buy
do
it
that?
From the Boston house?
From the gift shop?
No, from Lucy M. Boston's granddaughter. Oh, if you buy it from her, they get a bit of cash for the house.
Well, I'll find you the link to that and put that up. But if you need to see it immediately while you're waiting for the post to arrive, you can watch
it
on YouTube.
We all knew.
But don't do it for free. That's not fair. But no, one of the moments that it kind of gave me like lovely chills that really stuck in my head was when so there's a flute and she gives Tolly is it Alexander's flute? That's one of
it's
the three
Alexander's
ghost
flute,
children.
Yeah, there's one of them is music, one of them is horses.
That's
and
right.
Yes.
And then there's the girl. she doesn't get anything. She's just a girl. But Alexander plays his flute and there's this tune. But when he picks up the flute and he automatically plays it like he's channeling the spirit of Alexander. And it made me kind of go, ugh, but like, it was such a lovely moment.
Oh, yes, it's really, and that the music's brilliant.
So
it's not
beautiful.
Overused.
No.
And yes, and it's funny things like you'd think it would look really clunky when the dub kicks in the flute, and it doesn't.
No.
You know, everything really works.
It's beautiful.
But they really hold back on special effects.
Yeah.
You know? But it is a ghost story.
Yeah, it's chilly.
But it's a benevolent ghost story.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the doll's house in the attic, in the bedroom when he's sleeping in, which has one bed when he moves in, has four beds in the doll's house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when the lights go off, he can hear the other children in bed.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a poltergeist moment where he sits on the floor.
Yeah.
He sits on a book of Aesop's fables and gets dragged across the floor like Carol Ann in Poltergeist.
He should be terrified.
Yeah, but he so wants to see them.
But also because he's a very intuitive child and that's why they obviously connect with him, He obviously gives out this lovely... He really does. The casting was incredible, but Alec Christie gives off this lovely, I'm a nice, approachable chap energy, so that, you know, the...
Yeah, you don't need to be frightened. He's not frightened, so you don't have to be watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
And some of the little effects of the children, like they appear in mirrors.
Yeah.
And there's lots of just...
It should be terrifying.
There's lots of you just pass by them and you just see a cuff or you see...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's lots of just, you know, really beautiful, chilly little things that don't rely on the kind of the effects that can date. And none of that's happened.
Yes, it's kind of... It's sort of like Kids M.R. James. It's like a ghost story for Christmas, but...
Exactly that.
One that you feel... It's actually the adaptation is probably to sort of be congratulated as well because those moments are brilliantly handled so that you feel safe and, you know...
It's interesting. I was reading about... There's a guy called John Stadelman. Who's American, and
really?
he'd written it as a thesis script. He'd written a feature length script, which he tried to sell to the BBC. BBC didn't want it.
Oh my gosh!
And then Paul Stone, I think he was the producer who'd done Boxers of Lights and Moondial and Narnia.
Moondial was my absolute favourite.
Araminta.
I would have called the daughter Minty, and she'd have hated me forever. But you know, stuff it. It's a great name.
They eventually got together and divided his feature length script into things. And he said, and I remember reading an interview where he said he had to shake off all his Hollywood things about making it exciting.
Yeah,
because it's about the silence and the stillness.
It's so the opposite of Hollywood, isn't it? It's absolutely those moments of. Just any moment in it is given lots of space to breathe. It's very simple.
And it's amazing.
The words are brilliant.
For the time as well. There's a sequence in it where there's a little recreation of Charles II's court.
Yeah.
The flute is played, where Alexander is given the flute. And it looks amazing.
I know it is. It's absolutely stunning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really is beautiful. Do you have like a favourite moment from the whole series?
I do. And weirdly, yes, there is, because it's what made me think of it all the time, and it's where the statue walks. And it's where the statue of St. Christopher walks. And it's Linnet, the youngest of the three children from 16th century, 17th century.
Again, great name.
Yeah, Linnet is Toby's the other one, of course.
Oh, yes, and, of course. Tolly. Yeah.
They walk, and the rest have all gone to the church for midnight mass.
Yeah.
She wasn't allowed to go because she was ill, and she's looking out the window, and she sees, and it's flooded like it is in the present day, according to the series, and she sees the statue of St. Christopher walking towards the church.
Ooh.
And it's sort of incredible. And that's the only real effect in it.
Yeah, what do they use?
monkey. It's a
animation.
It's a costume.
Oh, I see. It's someone dressed in a stone thing.
You know, it's slightly wobbly, but for me, it was just, you know, it's the time I couldn't believe my luck. I was allowed to see it. It was frightening and magical, and it was pitch dark, and there's a girl in this huge house just on her own.
Yeah.
And I think as an adult, I'd have a different moment. I think for me now, the moment that I really love, apart from the ending, which is beautiful, is the moment, is one of the flashbacks in it, and it's where Alexander sings in the cathedral.
God, yes, I really love that too.
Music. And it's amazing. That now, as an adult, the music's really beautiful.
It's really chilly.
And it's kind of, but at the time, that was the mix of Goonies, Spielberg. So there's a thing happening.
Yeah.
But also had this really deep, old English, British thing that I think really, I have, you know, is really deep inside my soul. So I
absolutely.
It was a lovely combination of those things. And I think, so that really stuck. And I think if it hadn't been for that moment, I'm not saying it's the best moment in it, but, if it hadn't been for that moment, I don't think it would have stuck with me all that time. And I'm so glad that I sort of... In my mind, of course, it was the final moment of the series, but it's not. It's in episode 3,
What happens at the end? Remind me what happens to the last episode.
At the end...
Spoilers.
The spoiler. It's not really a spoily thing, but
in the end,
they sort of have Christmas together.
That's right.
Tolly and his grandmother want to have Christmas with the children
across
the time, and they go to the church for midnight mass. And it's beautifully written in the book as well, but they do a very good version. They go to the church at midnight, and it's really... the modern day church is quite empty. It's lit by, you know, strip lights, and there are just a few people there. But as the service begins, it suddenly is lit by candlelight, and the others
come through.
And they all, and the children go past, and Lynette is pretending to be a choir boy. She's dressed up and she gives him a wink as they go through. It's like Arcadia, that Tom Stoppard play. There's kind of the two times are together in the church.
That's
amazing. It's really beautiful. It's, you know, you could just show it as an adult drama now, I think.
Oh, do you want some mulled wine? I want mulled wine.
Okay, I had 2 litres before I arrived.
Fair enough. I thought you were looking a bit ruddy. Thank you so much for bringing that, and happy bloody Christmas.
I have one thing to show you before.
Oh, go on.
I think you should see it because...
He's rooting around in his pocket,
ladies and gentlemen.
I am rooting around
my pocket. Is that... my wife Anna phoned up the Bostons.
Star of stage and screen.
Yeah, my wife. And she phoned up Lucy Boston's granddaughter.
And she said,
is this the Green No-House? She said, yeah. She said, and then the daughter said, let me guess, a mouse? And then she brought home.
No.
And I'm holding up Tolly's mouse.
That is the little wooden mouse. Can I have the mouse, Granny? How come? How come? Do they sell them in the shop?
They sell them.
I want a mouse.
And I got this one Christmas. So
I'm going to take a picture of Toby holding his mouse and put it on the Twitter feed for you to see, because it's utterly delightful. I'm just zooming in on the mouse, Toby. Can I hold it after, please?
Take it now.
Thanks. I'm holding the mouse. Oh, it's so lovely. Because it's made just to fit in your hand.
Yes, it is. And if you look at the illustration in the book, which she did, it's identical.
That is absolutely beautiful. What a lovely thing. It's worth £20,000. I feel like I'm on Antiques Roadshow. Thank you for bringing the lovely thing. Before you go, Toby, please will you delve into my festive box of delights and pick a question.
Shag, marry, kill, the Muppets.
Ah, this does involve Muppet aside. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll marry Janice.
Fair enough. Okay, good,
I think that's fine. Maybe I'll shag Sweetums.
Do you know, I think Sarah Morgan may have wanted to do that as well. What about kill? Come on, you have to kill a Muppet if you can even imagine something so horrific. You have to push them into a vat of custard or something funny, but they will die.
Oh, my God. Who am I going to kill?
Who's the most annoying Muppet?
I mean, is there one?
Not really. No, they're all adorable.
I mean, do you know what? I'd probably kill Rizzo.
Okay, fine.
I think he got undue prominence.
Really? Yeah, okay, is that it? That's the only reason?
Post-Christmas Carol, undue prominence of Rizzo.
Okay, so. Screw you. You're a dead puppet. Toby, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed, @BoxDelightsPod. Come and say hello. Bye.